This is an interview with Fuad Rafidi by Patricia Homick for the Youngstown State University Oral History Project on May 30th, 1981 at 832 Elm Street. Okay, Fuad, are you officially a United States resident?
Yeah.
How long have you lived here?
I came to United States in January 1975, so that's making about 6 years and a half.
Could you describe the city where you lived back home?
The city that I was born in and I lived all my life in it, it's called Ramallah. It's about 6 miles from Jerusalem. Its inhabitant is around 500,000. It's one of the biggest city in the West Bank, occupied West Bank. The majority of the people there are Muslims. There is 35% Christian. I went to Catholic school there. It depends on agriculture and they have some light industry.
Is it city that could compare with an American city?
Maybe you could compare it with one of the southern states city like Kansas or some like that, because mainly they depend on agriculture there.
Okay. What did your mother and father do?
They both graduated from high school. My dad was a self-employee and he's retired now. My mom is a home wife. She doesn't work.
What type of job was your father involved
in? He had a mill.
He owned a mill?
Right.
Oh. And why did you come to the United States?
I had two options after I graduated from high school there. Since I went to Catholic school, I had a scholarship for Bologna, which is a university in Italy, through my school. The other option was open to me is United States, because I have four brothers who came to United States in 1967. They came to Youngstown. They wrote me about Youngstown State University, so I came over here because they were willing to help me through my college. That's why I came to Youngstown.
Okay, what American customs, places, people, laws, or anything at all have you found most interesting or unusual?
When you think about the United States, I used to hear that the United States is a melting pot, where a lot of different ethnic groups cooperate and work together. And I found this interesting, especially in a cultural aspect. United States is a place where cultural mix, there is no cultural differences, and that's what I like to see in people, peaceful coexistence between people, learning about other cultures, and that's helped me a lot.
Good. I understand that you're a strong supporter of the PLO. How did you first become interested in it?
The situation I was born in make me be a supporter of the PLO. When you live in such a situation with a lot of oppression there and you find your people suffering, I think any human being, when he thinks about this situation, he has to do something to change the situation. As a Palestinian, I lived under occupation. I saw the misery of the occupation, so I decided to do something. Reading about the history of Palestine, I found it most essential, especially to Palestinians, to work forward in order to get that oppression out of their people. And I think if we educated people don't work for our lands, who gonna work? There have to be some sacrifice from everybody in order to create an atmosphere where everybody could live together peacefully. Then through my family, I mean, I learn more about the problem. The more I get into school, the more I get into life, I get aware of that problem, and I started around my 10th grade. I became too much attached to this problem.
I understand. Issam told me that you have a brother, I believe, who was in an Israeli jail.
I have two of them. One of them stayed 2 years, and the other about 3 months.
Could you describe those situations?
The youngest, which is he's 20 years old now, there was a demonstration. Because there was an issue about educational issue, the Israeli authority want to change all the education programs in the West Bank schools and make Hebrew the official language of that schools. So students stood against this and they had a big demonstration. They took him and accused him of being a member of the PLO. They put him in jail for 2 years. My other brother, who was in the United States, he went overseas in 1973. To visit my family and get married over there. When he got there from the airport, they took him and they said, you are a supporter of the PLO. We have information from the FBI in the United States that you were active in politics in the favor of the PLO. So they took him to jail, but with the pressure of the United States government, since he's a citizen of the United States, they released him after 3 months. Under one condition, he'll never go back there.
Did he ever describe to you the conditions in the jail?
Not particularly, because see, when you are a citizenship, they treat you better than a regular resident from the West Bank. But as I know from a lot of people, jail is a jail, whether in the United States or Israel. In Israel, it's one step further. Torture is the main thing. Like if you, there is an international organization called Amnesty International, which is right about human rights. If you read their reports, which was submitted to the United Nations and to the Congress Library in Washington, if you go over there and file, you'll see that Israel has one of the most worst record in the world concerning human rights. They name Israel, Chile, Argentina, and Philippines as the most oppressive regimes in the world. So the situation in the jails, it's very bad.
Other than your involvement at the Arabic Club, in what other ways have you supported the PLO cause here in the United States?
I think living in the United States, our main aim is to get the American people aware of what's going on in the Middle East, because we feel the American public doesn't hear both sides of the story. The news media is over here, all the Israeli publication, and this will give the American people one side of the picture. So our main purpose over here is to make the American people aware. Through publication of Palestinian, we have a PLO information center in Washington. We have a lot of organizations concerning Palestinian, like Palestinian Women Organization, Student Union for Palestinian. Our main thing is to get the American people to know more about the Palestinian and let the American people make their own prescription of the situation over there, who they favor. Because if you brainwash somebody with publication one side, he won't have an accurate point of view about the situation. We feel it's fair enough to have both sides of the story and let the American people decide.
Are you a member of any of the branches of the PLO?
No, I'm not a member of the PLO, but see, the PLO, as any other government, they have branches to organize different sectors of the Palestinian people. Like they have the labor movement organization, they have the student organization, and I'm a member of the student General Union for Palestinian Students, which is not affiliated of the PLO in a sense, but at the same time its work is coordinated by the PLO supporters in the United States. And I'm also a member of the North American Congress for the Palestinian people over here in the United States. We established this Congress 1 year ago.
And what has this Congress done?
The main purpose is the same thing, is to get the American people aware of it. But the good thing about it, there is a lot of Americans who are associate members in this Congress.
Really?
Yeah, we have a lot of progressive forces in the United States who support the Palestinian cause. And this support comes through the Palestinian Congress in North America. Like to give you one example, we have James Aborizer, he's a Lebanese, he used to be a Congress from South Dakota. He's one of the executive a member of the executive committee in the North American Congress. So through this thing, we could get our point across for the American people. And I think we're doing a good job as a starters.
Does this Congress meet regularly?
It meets 3 times regularly. The executive committee meets three times regularly each year. And the branches, which is the local chapters, like in Youngstown, we have a local chapter which is affiliated with the mother organization, the Congress. We meet once every month. There is a convention for all the delegates from all the chapters that meet once a year. That's the convention, the highest authority in the Congress. It decides about the plans for the next year, programs we should carry, money-wise, all these things will be solved in the convention every year.
Is this local group the group that meets at the Arabic Club?
Right, every month.
What do you personally believe is the greatest problem in solving the Middle Eastern situation?
As a Palestinian, I think if you ask anybody, he'll tell you that the core of the problem is the Palestinian issue in the Middle East. There won't be no peace in the Middle East as long as the Palestinian issue is not solved. This problem, to me, it could be solved by letting all the immigrants who left Palestine go back to Palestine and live in peace with the Israeli citizen. We're not saying we should throw the Israeli inhabitants or the Jews, if we could say that, on the sea like they used to say the Arabs don't like the Jews. We know Judaism is a faith. I'm a Christian, and there is Muslim. We know we could live in peace together because we used to live before 1948. I mean, before the establishment of Israel, we used to live in peace together. So I think to solve this problem, they should let the people of Palestine go back to their homeland and establish a secular democratic state. By secular, I mean religious is separated from politics, like in the United States over here. You have a lot of religious coexisting in the United States, but at the same time, there is a democracy in the United States. There is a system. There is a government. And separation of government and politics is essential. That's what why we say in our aim is to build a secular and at the same time a democratic. With election, democracy, I don't care if a Jew be the president of Palestine or whatever you want to call it Israel if you want to call it. But after we establish that secular democratic state, we don't care who's the official and we don't care about the name of the country as long as that official is elected by the people.
Okay, I've read about this proposed solution, and critics have come up with the point that there aren't any examples in the Middle East of a secular democratic state. So do you think it's still possible to establish?
Sure, if you discuss the principle as a principle, the principle is right.
Right.
But I think people in the Middle East didn't practice it so far. That doesn't mean the principle is wrong. What we're saying is give us a chance. Let's work as long as we both agree on this principle. I think if you ask an Israeli about this principle, he'll tell you yeah. Whether it's practical or not, we don't know yet. Let's put it in work and see if it can be worse than it exists in now. If it failed, the situation won't be as bad as it is now. So let's give this solution a chance. And on the other hand, we given this proposal. The Israelis don't give any other alternatives. The alternative of the Israelis, they say in the West Bank and Israel is one land and will never allow the Palestinian to come back. That's not an alternative to what we propose. We propose in a secular democratic state and we said we're ready to cooperate in this issue. Whether it's the problem now, whether the Israelis like this proposal or not.
Okay. What is the attitude of Palestinian students here at Youngstown State University toward the United States' role in the Arab-Israeli situation?
I think if we want to discuss in reality situation concerning the American, we should separate between two things. As a Palestinian, I'll see a different point of view. I mean, I compare, there is American people on one hand and there is a United States government on the other hand. When we say we against United States policy, we say we against the policies of the government of the United States. We don't have anything against the American people. I think the American people are fine. They're one of the best people all over the world. They're willing to hear, because from my experience with American students at YSU, they are ready to hear your point of view. But the problem, are these people representative in the White House or not? To me, I think the Zionist lobby, when I'm saying Zionist, I mean the Jewish forces in Washington, they are so strong, they put so much pressure on the administration to take policies which are not, all we're asking for is an even-handed policy in the Middle East. Treat the people the same way. And if you look at the interest of the United States in the Middle East, I think they have more interest to be with the Arabs than to be with the Israelis. I'm not saying the United States should leave Israel. I'm saying let's look at the situation in the Middle East and have an even-handed policy in the Middle East. That's concerning the government. The American people, the more you tell them about the Palestinian, the more they lean toward you. And this is by experience. So when we talk about this issue, I differentiate between the American people and the United States government. All we're asking from the United States government is to treat the Palestinian people as people, not as a bunch of refugees, not as a gang of terrorists, because we are counted for 4 million people now. According to United Nations latest issue concerning education, Palestinians are one of the most educated people in the Middle East. I think as a human being, we deserve the right to live. we deserve the right for self-determination, because this is the law of the world. When you have a people, you have a self-determination issue. These people have to decide their faith, have to decide their entirety and everything. They entitled to self-determination. And this is the main problem. The United States government should agree on the self-determination for the Palestinian people. I know a lot of American people want this to happen. Okay, but the problem, does the American people have that much pressure to put on the State Department comparing with the pressure the Zionist and the Israelis lobby putting on the United States government? I think this is a balance issue, because to me I think the Zionist forces in the United States have much power than the American people. To give you a clear example of this, General Brown, one of the best generals in the United States Army, in 1976, all he said, let's have an even-handed policy in the Middle East, the next day they kick him out of the office. The same thing happened with our friend Andrew Yang in the United Nations. All he did is sat down and talked to a representative of the PLO. It was a big issue in the United States, and it cost him his seat as ambassador to the United Nations. So that shows you how much pressure the Zionist lobby has on the State Department and the government in Washington.
Okay, do you know anything about the Palestinian organization here on campus? They sponsored last night an Arabian night, which I attended, and it was a big success. Are you involved at all in that organization on campus?
I'm a member of the Executive Committee of the General Union for Palestinian Students. But the problem, since I graduated in March, I can't be an executive member because I'm not a full-time student now. We started this idea of General Union for Palestinian Students last year on campus. We had two lectures, some movies, we had a table in the homecoming, but the problem till now, the American people are not willing to come and attend our lectures. Like I remember 3 weeks ago, we have a guy from the Arab League in Chicago to give a lecture, and I was shocked to see just four American came to attend this lecture. Whether they are busy in school or then they don't worry that much about politics all over the world. I think the American people, as long as economically they satisfied in the United States, they don't worry that much about the problems of the world. But to me, what's happening in the Middle East is affecting the American citizen, whether he like it or not. There is the oil issue in the Middle East. There is the danger of confrontation between the Soviet Union and the American forces there in the Middle East. It's a hot issue, and it's a very dangerous spot in the world. The American public should be aware of what's going over in the Middle East and overseas, because it's going to affect them, whether directly or indirectly, one way or the other. That's why we should work hard between the American students, especially American students, because they achieving some kind of high level of education. They should be aware of the world problem, because it's going to affect them sooner or later. But unfortunately, so far, we have little success. We're not going to give up. But I don't think we achieve what we're looking for, of getting the support of the American student. I'm not saying they should support us 100%. At least, they should be aware of our problem.
Right. As I noticed last night, the Americans who were there were mostly friends of Arabs or girlfriends of Arabs.
That's right.
Not too many, even students from the campus, were attending. It was mostly community. And it was an excellent program.
I hate to say that, but if you look at the calendar at Kilkali, yesterday, last night, there was three other activities going, like the sorority and the fraternity. They have rush parties, disco parties, beer. Unfortunately, when you come to American student and tell him come to a free beer, on the other hand, come to a cultural evening, political evening, he rather go drink beer than coming to a cultural evening. Unfortunately, this is the situation there, and we're working to change the situation.
What was your reaction to an impression of Yasser Arafat's news-making appearance at the UN a few years ago?
I think this is the biggest step the PLO has. See, the problem with the world community, they never treat the PLO as the representative body of the Palestinian people. The world was looking at Palestinian, they are a bunch of refugees who are scattered all over the world. They're not organized. They're a bunch of terrorists. That's why they're not entitled for self-determination. By coming to United Nations, Yasser Arafat proved a point that we are a part of the world community. We are not bunch of refugees, we are a people. When you look at the United Nations resolution that was adopted after Yasser Arafat visited to the United States, it stated that the Palestinian people are people. It's not a refugees problem. There are 4 million people, we should solve their problem. And this is one of the biggest achievements the PLO achieved. Let the world community recognize the PLO as the representative of the Palestinian people. And I emphasize on the word people because there is a difference. If you recognize the Palestinian as people, then these people are entitled for self-determination. And that's what we achieved in the United Nations. 105 countries voted with us that the Palestinians are people and they are entitled for self-determination. In the same time, a resolution was adopted quoting Zionism as a form of racism. Zionism, when I say Zionism, I differentiate between Zionism and Judaism. Judaism is a faith and I'm not against Judaism, but I'm against of Zionism. Zionism is a political idea which uses religious in order to achieve its goals. Like if I, as a Christian, come to you as a Christian and say, since we are both Christian, let's get all the Christian of the world and go to Uganda or some spot and live there. Since we are Christian, we are entitled to a statehood. This is wrong. This is the same way it happened with the Jews. As long as we are Jews, let's go to Palestine and establish our own state. I can do it as a Christian. Get together all the Christian and live in some spot. Nationality is different than a faith. Okay? So I appreciate Judaism. I appreciate all the holy books. I appreciate their laws. I appreciate their people. I feel sorry for what happened to the Jews all over the world, especially during the Nazis era. I feel sorry for them. But at the same time, I feel sorry for my people. Because the people who were oppressed in Europe, the Jews, they are oppressing another people now in Palestine. I can't see that's contradict. If you really with human rights, you should say I'm against all kind of oppression all over the world. I was against the oppression of the Jews from the Nazis, and I'm against the oppression of people, Palestinian people, by the Israelis.
Various political scientists have suggested that the PLO's influence is declining due to three reasons. One, the divisions within the PLO. Two, the emphasis on force. And three, the all-or-nothing attitude intent upon destroying the Zionist state. How would you react to these charges?
Would you repeat the second point, though? The first point, I got it.
Okay, the emphasis on force.
Okay. The first point, was it concerning
the division?
The division in the PLO. We don't look at different groups in the PLO as division in the PLO. There is a lot of groups with different ideas concerning the struggle to liberate Palestine. But at the same time, they all agree in one aim, which is the liberation of Palestine and the establishment of a secular democratic state. There is a lot of point of view of what should be done in order to achieve that aim. That's not a division. To me, this is different points of view. But they all agree on the same thing. I'll give you another example. In Vietnam, there was 36 groups fighting for the unifying and liberation of Vietnam. At the end, they agreed on one principle and they succeed. Different point of view is healthy in any revolution or in any movement, in any organization. When you see different point of view, you see discussion and the best will surface at the end. This is concerning. So I see it. There is no division in the PLO. There is different point of views. There is a democracy going on in the PLO. All these groups, they have convention every year, which is called the Palestinian National Conference. And they sit together. They adopt resolutions together. So there is no division in the PLO. Concerning the second thing, why we resort to force. We don't. Since 1948, we've been trying to solve this problem through peaceful channels. We came to the United Nations after 1948. They took a lot of resolution, but the Israelis didn't give up. The United Nations don't have the power to make its resolution work on land. Give me one simple example when the United Nations forced any oppressors to leave the country. They can't. They don't have the power to do this. We had a lot of resolution taken in favor of the Palestinian people. Since 1948 till 1964 when we formed the PLO. So all this year, about 20 years, we tried peaceful channels. It didn't work. So the only option we were left with is the armed struggle. We didn't declare the armed struggle because we like to kill people. I hate to see any innocent people die. But give me another alternative. There is two ways, either solve it through peaceful channels or solve it through arms. Unfortunately, the world community didn't give us a chance to solve it in peaceful settlement, in peaceful way. So we have to resort to arms. Not because we like to resort to arms, because that's the only option was left to us. That's why we went to armed struggle. We tried peaceful channels, it didn't work. That's why in 1964 we established the PLO in order to carry our struggle.
But within the PLO itself, aren't certain groups more peaceful than others?
Oh yeah.
Couldn't that hurt the PLO in the long run though? If most of the groups within the PLO were able to come up with a peaceful solution, what if they did solve the Middle Eastern situation? How about one of those more radical groups?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that a possibility that it could hurt the PLO?
Oh, you're right on this point. But in a sense, I disagree with you in one sense. I think in any organization there is these radicals and moderate. In any government, look at the United States. You have from liberal Democrat to conservative Republican to GLU, Triple K, the Klan. You have the Weathermen for a while. You have the Communist Party. You have the Nazis. So even in the United States, there is a lot of extreme, whether to the right or to the left. In the PLO, there is. There is radical groups. There is communist. There are moderates. And this is the main thing I want to emphasize. This is the time to deal with the moderate of the PLO, because the leadership of the PLO right now are moderate. When you're talking about Yasser Arafat and compare it with other radical like George Habash,
right,
you came to a conclusion that Yasser Arafat is moderate, we should deal with this moderate. Because I'm afraid after Yasser Arafat go, the PLO will turn more radically. Then it's hard to deal with the PLO. So this is the time people should start thinking. We have a moderate man there. Let's sit down with him and talk about the peaceful settlements. We're not talking about the destruction of Israel as people. We're talking about the destruction of Israel as establishment, as entirety. Because when you look at the Israel now, if you're not a Jew, you can't be a citizen of the state of Israel. This is bad. When I'm a Palestinian who was born there and come here to the United States, I can't go back to visit my family unless I get a permit from the government of Israel. Okay? And that's impossible to get because they know I'm active politically in the United States. Unfortunately, there is a lot of reports going from the United States. There is big cooperation between the FBI and the Mossad, which is the secret police of Israel. So any active member of the Palestinian community in the United States, his report, his records will go back to Israel. So anytime I like to visit my family, I can go there. While an Israeli who was American citizen, who was born in Russia, who was born in France, could go there anytime and could get a citizenship. So we are saying about destruction of Israel, not as people, destruction of the establishment of Israel and establish a secular democratic state. We're not against Jews.
Okay, I would like to discuss now the Arabic Club in Youngstown.
Yeah.
I understand that you're involved extensively in that. What exactly is your position? Are you on the board of directors or?
I was last year on the board of directors, but now our main thing is to start Arabic school, to teach our children who were born in the United States the heritage and the culture and the language of the Arab people. So last year we started the classes, Arabic classes. We have now 36 students, mostly were born over here, and we have two American girls who are interested in the language, who come and learn language. So my position now in the club is I'm responsible on this program. Last year I was on the board of directors concerning getting the students and the community to get together. Because as Palestinian, some Palestinian students who come from refugee camps in Lebanon, they don't have that much money to go through college. So what we're trying to establish is a budget, separate budget from the community center. Like we have a lot of people who have grocery stores, self-employed. They have a lot of money. What we're trying to push through the community center through me, I'm saying let's put $20 each month from each store in Youngstown, put it in special budget. This budget will go to help needy students, Palestinian students who study at YSU. And I think next week we're going to start the first step of this, because as a student, we brought it forward to the club, and the club agreed, the Arab Community Center, and we're going to start working on this thing. But the main thing now is to get our students attached to their heritage and their culture. I'm not talking about the students who are in YSU. I'm talking about children who were born in the United States. They get the American way of living through school, through interacting with neighbors. The same time, we try to get them that there is Palestine, there is Arab heritage, you should learn your language, so he'll be attached to his homeland. I'm not saying we should brainwash them, like whatever the American do is bad, you should be an Arab 100%. We're trying to tell them you are a Palestinian American. Take the good things from the American society, at the same time, don't forget the good things from back home. Learn your language because it's going to help you, whether to get along with the American or to get along with your own people. So that's what we're concentrating on in the time being, the school, Arabic school for the children.
Can you tell me a little bit more about these classes? How often do they meet? Who teaches them?
We meet once every week, Saturday, at the Arab Community Center. The session is 3 hours. The first 2 hours is basically education. We got the books from overseas, like the same books they're going through the first grade and second grade overseas. So we have these books, we got them. We go over these books for the first 2 hours. The third hour, we have some kind of games for them. Because if you put a little child through intensive 3 hours education, he'll get bored. So you have to give him something in order to keep them their brain functioning good. So we give them some games, some songs, like if somebody has a birthday party, we celebrate his birthday at the club. We meet once a week, every Saturday. And there is 4 teachers who are taking care of this. To tell you the truth, they're not specialized teachers. I mean, they're not special education major or education major. But I think they have the ability to interact with the children. Because I noticed something. If you get the children to like you on a personal level, they get more from what you say. So what we're trying to do is to let them like us on a personal level. This way, we'll achieve more with it. That's what we're trying to do.
Is there any possibility of opening up classes to adults who would like to learn Arabic?
There is a possibility, but it's hard to do in Youngstown. Because as I told you before, we don't have that specialized body. Children, you could get along with them. But adults, if you don't have that experienced man or experienced teacher, they'll find it hard. And especially when you get some adults who never experience any Arabic language. The children, they hear their parents talk a little bit Arabic. It's easier to associate with the Arabic language. But when you get an American adult, it's very hard, especially the pronunciation. Because we have a lot of letters in the Arabic, it's very, very hard to American to pronounce in the right way. I'm not saying it's impossible to make it. I say it takes time and takes a lot of planning to do it. But I think that's a good suggestion. We work on it.
The reason I asked is I took a beginning Arabic course at Kent, and I haven't been able to go back since to continue, and I would be interested if you are offering a course like that.
Oh, I'll let you know.
Okay.
I'll let you know.
Can you tell me how long the Arabic club has existed?
It existed since 1969. We used to have rent a building from a church on Shehi Street. In 1975, we decided to buy our own building and put it in a better area, centered area around the city. So we chose Belmont Avenue. The club now, we bought a building there of Belmont Avenue and we established it. So since 1968, I think, till now, the Arabic Community Center was existing in Youngstown, but mainly the better form of organizing came in 1975 after we bought the new facilities.
Who provided the funds?
The members of the club. We never have any support from outside Youngstown. We have like 56 stores over here, and they are willing. Right, 56 Arab stores in Youngstown, small businesses. They are willing to help. Every time you go ask for contribution for the club, they'll do it. Then every year we have one party, especially for the club. Like we make barbecue outside, Arab food, some bands, singing and stuff like this in order to collect some money. And I think we're doing a good job in this because the building almost paid for and everything is going good financially wise.
Do you charge membership fees also?
Yeah, that's beside the contribution, the fees that the members paid form a big chunk of the financial aspects of the club.
Do you charge by the year or by the month?
Yearly. But if you want to pay it monthly, you could. And the good thing about it, to show you how much, like we charge, let's say, $10 for the businessman, $3 for the student. Because we know the student don't have that much money to pay. Like when you're going to apply to be a member in the club, you have to pay a fee like $50, the student has to pay $10 to be a member. That's when you get in the first time. Then the fees, if you're a big man with a lot of money, they are willing to pay more than a student who lived in a fixed income. So we're trying to make it easy on everybody to join, because we think this is a good thing to have in a community. Every night you get people to get talk together. One other thing, especially youth, in this situation, I'm not saying the system is bad, but if you hear lately, sex, a lot of problem with sex, a lot of problem with drugs, a lot of problem with drunken people. So we're trying as much as we could to get our youth to come to the club instead of spending their time in bad places. And this is, in the long run, will help us a lot. Because when you get the, when you get a guy out of drinking, out of dope, out of all these bad things, he has to think in politics or cultural aspect. Because if you get him in drinking, he forgets everything about Palestine, everything about his own people. If you form an environment for him where he could practice whatever he feels like outside all these bad things, you get him attached to the problem more. That's what we're trying to do too.
Okay. Are there a lot of Americans who attend the Arabic club?
Unfortunately, no. There is some people who comes to our parties, but as regular members come every night or weekends, we don't have as many. No.
But how many people attend on a weeknight and how many on a weekend?
From the Arab, you mean, or American?
Total.
Total, I'll say about 50 to 60 weekdays, 60 to 100 weekends. But when we have special activities, more than that. Like the hall we have, it's not a big hall. It holds 150. We could fill it, any activity we do. Everybody comes. But we weekdays, we should look at it this way too. But all of them working in grocery stores. They put a lot of hours in the grocery store. After they close the store, they have to go see their families. We don't expect them to close the store and come to the club. Because they have family, they have responsibility to take care of. They should sit down with their families and talk to their kids. We don't want them every day to close their stores and come to the club, because that will create a gap between them and their families. We're not looking for that. We're saying, go talk to your family during weekdays, but weekend, get your family and come to the club. Let your kids associate with other kids. You associate with others. That will help both of us, all of us.
Okay, you've mentioned special events. What types of special events do you have?
Okay, like there is three most important things we celebrate. One of them is the partition of Palestine, which is May 15, the day they established the State of Israel, and the day that 3 million Palestinians left their homeland. We celebrate this. We celebrate the Land Day, which is March 31st. The day where the people overseas uprise against the Israelis' occupation, and they said, this is our land, we're not going to leave, whether you force us or not. We're going to stay over here. The third event, which is the Women's Day, because we feel like the Western Hemisphere have a bad idea about the Palestinian and Arab in general concerning women. They say they don't treat women good. Women are inferior than men. What we try to establish, especially in our people, the idea of the equality between man and woman. So May 8th in every year, we celebrate that date, which is the Women's Day, we call it. We celebrate it at the club. These are mainly the three things we celebrate. Besides this, there is some centralized demonstration in Washington, in New York, in Chicago. We get some buses and get people to go there. One of the main events we associate with American through the festival that they have every year in Stamp Auditorium. I think you're familiar with. The community center sponsor a booth over there with Arabic food, sponsor some dances upstairs to show our folklore dances to the American people, to show our culture and heritage to the American people. Mainly these are the big events we celebrate. Beside daily events like somebody got married, we give him a party. If somebody died, we let everybody come to the community center and make him feel better. If a student needs to express his points of view, or a speaker from overseas, we get the people over here to listen to that speaker. Some people who are running as a candidates who feel they should represent their points of view, we get them to the club to talk to the community, stuff like this.
Hey, you keep calling it the community center, and the other Arabs tell me it's the Arabic club. What is the official name?
The official name is the Arabic Community Center of Youngstown.
Okay. The other Arabs have told me frequently about political meetings that you have at the Arabic club, and they talk about collecting large sums of money for the PLO. Is that correct?
Yeah, because we feel the same way the Jewish Community Center in Youngstown has the right to make parties with $2,000 a plate, and these big shots go there and pay $2 million. We don't have that much money to pay, but at least we feel as long as we are Palestinian living in the United States, there is two ways to support the PLO and to support our cause. One is to publicize our cause to the American people. Secondly, is to contribute to the cause by sending some money overseas. Not only for military purposes, because there is people overseas, hospitals run by the PLO for people who got hurt in the war. There is children who lost their fathers and mothers. Somebody has to take care of them. There is a lot of expenses and a lot of aspects of the PLO. The problem here, they think of the PLO as a military wing. It's not just a military wing. We have seven institutions, the PLO. We have the cultural institution, the social institution, education institution, health and care facilities. We have institution, a literature institution, folklore, dances institution. All these things should be supported by the Palestinian people. And we feel by having some kind of activities for the community over here, and the community are willing to contribute to the cause. So we feel the same way others are collecting some money, we have the right to collect some money. As long as we not against any law or any rule that the United States government put, I think we have the right to do the same thing. Because it's guaranteed for us through the Constitution of the United States. We're not doing anything illegal. At the same time, we are ready to sit down and discuss our problem, whether through political gathering or through social gathering, and to contribute some money for our cause.
About how often do you hold these gatherings for the purpose of raising money for
them? 3 times a year.
And can you give me a rough idea about how much you would collect in a typical...
It depends on the economic situation in Youngstown, to tell you the truth. Like before, when the steel mill were working, businesses were booming, we collect a lot of money. These days, with the unemployment is so high, inflation is so high, there is not that much money coming to the people through grocery stores they have. It varies, but we don't collect big amounts. We're not looking to... The idea of it is not to collect a big amount of money. The idea is to let people participate. Put effort into this cause.
Right.
Whether we collect $1 or $1 million, it doesn't make a big difference to me, at least. The main thing is to get people to support their cause.
Okay, are there other Arabic organizations in nearby cities such as Cleveland or Pittsburgh that have similar centers and conduct similar meetings?
In Akron, we don't have a center for the community. We have organization of Arab students and the General Union for Palestinian Students. In Cleveland, since we have a bigger community, they have their own club. They carry the same activities similar to the one we carry in Youngstown. When you look at big cities, San Francisco, Chicago, New York, like New York has 3 centers, one in Manhattan, 2 in Brooklyn. Because there is a lot of concentration of Arab there. Same thing in San Francisco, they have 2, because there is more Arabs live there. In every city in the United States, mostly in every city, there is centers. If there is no centers, there is student organizations. So, I think we carry in lot of activities, and we are looking forward to establish some more centers in some other cities. But financially, you have to secure some support in order to build, because it costs too much money to build centers and take care of the centers the the way it should be.
Do you ever coordinate any activities or get assistance from another center?
Yeah.
Such as ideas?
I think Youngstown is has the biggest responsibility, because I think our center, one of the most advanced centers.
Oh, really?
In a sense, it was established long time ago. Some new cities like Cleveland, we're the one who went there and organized the center in Cleveland. There is Palestinian Arab people live in Cleveland, but they never faced with this problem of organizing the community building center. So we went there, we made the general assembly for all the people in the community, and we discussed with them the idea of opening a center, how useful it's going to be for them, and they were willing to help. So we established a center there, they elected their own officers there, and they're taking care of that center. And every once in a while, when they have some problems, they call us, we give our assistance. At the same time, if we need something, we call New York, we call San Francisco. There is no central organizers, okay? But there is some cooperation between the centers all over the United States.
Do you think that support for PLO organizations seems to be growing in the United States?
Oh, I think very much. When you're talking about, I don't know exactly the date, there was a communique between the Soviet Union and the United States during Carter administration, which stated that the PLO are entitled for a statehood and self-determination. To me, this is a giant step that the United States government took. And when you talk to the street people, to regular people, American people, to university students, they feel with the PLO, they heard about the PLO. The PLO image start changing all over the world. Hijacking era is over. There were some radicals in the PLO carrying these tactics in order to let the people aware of the problem. To gain the attention of the people, they took this tactic, which is what amused by the majority of the Palestinians. In 1974, they stopped this tactics. Now, through the United Nations, we are members in the UNESCO, UNICEF. We are associate member in the United Nations Body Assembly. Every once in a while, the delegates from the PLO come and attend the United Nations. The European country now is putting forward the new initiatives, beside Camp David initiative, in order to serve the Palestinian people. So in general, we see a trend. The world community are starting to get a word of the Palestinian, and there should be a solution that guarantee a statehood and a self-determination for the Palestinian people. And this is a good sign. The other thing, the situation all over the world, it's a situation where oppressed people are fighting back. Whether you look in Africa or you look in Asia, all the era of the imperialism, the big forces, big powers go and take over small country is over now. People are start thinking, why should we be under occupation? So there is a condition which is ripe for the Palestinian struggle. Condition that says the liberation movements are in the growth. The liberation movements are moving fast. And this is give us a push. This give us a push as a PLO. And I think the PLO leadership did a good job in organizing worldwide support. Like they have good connection with all over, especially in South America lately. They get in through South America. They get in through Europe. All these resolutions concerning the Palestinian people are taken. If you look at any convention in international level, one of its points, it should be always the PLO self-determination, the PLO the right to exist, Palestinian people should go back home. All these resolutions are adopted by different international organizations that show you the trend or show you that there is growing support for the PLO from the world community, which is a good and healthy sign.
Is there anything else you would like to discuss?
The only thing I like to say, as I'm planning to be a citizenship of the United States, we like the American people, we like them to be aware of the Palestinian problem. We're not against Jews, we're against killing innocent people, but at the same time we're against Israeli jets killing innocent people in South Lebanon and killing innocent Palestinian people. I'm against the war period. We're not terrorists, we are freedom fighters. Because I differentiate between a terrorist and a freedom fighter, we're not fighting for the sake of fighting. George Washington fought the British he was the father of, you call him the father of revolution, while the British call him a terrorist. So freedom fighter, who is the person who are fighting for a right cause. And I think we are doing the same thing. We're not closing any options, peaceful options, but we're looking forward for the Israelis to say, yeah, we should solve the Palestinian problem in order to guarantee the security of both the Israeli people and the Palestinian people. There should be a solution, but as long as there is oppression, the Palestinian issue won't be solved. Through Camp David it won't be solved, because I think the Egyptian or the Israelis or the United States governments are not the representative of the Palestinian people. If they're really interested in solving the Palestinian issue, they should sit down with the PLO, which is the sole representative of the Palestinian people. Any convention that discusses the Palestinian issue without the PLO won't solve the issue, because the PLO is the representative and they're the only one who are entitled to talk about the Palestinian people. The same way I don't get the French president to talk about the Red Indian problem in the United States. I don't like Sadat or Begin or Carter or anybody to discuss the Palestinian issue, because we elect our officers. We have the PLO as the representative of our people. They're the one who should be discussed. They're the one who should be getting touched with in order to solve that problem. And I hope through peaceful channels we should establish a durable and lasting peace in the Middle East, where Muslims, Christian, Jews could live together as we used to live before the establishment of the State of Israel.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.